You are now listening to Running the Race, the official podcast of St. Paul Street Evangelization, where we engage in thoughtful conversations about ways to evangelize the contemporary culture. I'm your host, Adam Janke, and thank you for joining us. Let's go ahead and begin, as we always do, with a brief prayer before we dive right in. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, here's a story for you. Yesterday, last minute, I was asked to be on the Catholic Answers live show, and our founder and president, Steve Dawson, was scheduled to be on the show. Unfortunately, he's both come down with pneumonia, and then his internet was having all kinds of problems. So it just wasn't good to take any chances and have him be on the show. And so he asked me, Adam, can you be on the show? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to fill in. And that was just a few hours before. And I was thinking to myself, you know, we have just really inexpensive audio and video equipment in our office. Like, for the podcast so far, I've been using like a free $20 studio mic that somebody gave me. And I thought to myself, if I'm going to go on Catholic Answers Live and we're going to keep doing these podcasts, I want to get something a little bit better. And so I went off to an electronics store and I said, hey, this is what I've got right now. I want something better. What do you guys recommend? And they're like, oh, here, take this for your microphone and this for your headset and whatnot. They're helping me out, putting everything together. And so I grab it all. I bring it back to my office or studios here. I rip the boxes open. I've got less than an hour left now until I'm on with Cy Kellett and the guys over at Catholic Answers. And I'm plugging things in and I'm downloading software. And the software is saying, you must restart your computer. And like, just trying to make it all work. But finally, about 5 minutes before I'm due to be on for the mic check and that type of thing with Catholic Answers Live, you know, it's like it goes, you know, another box pops up and everything. But it seems to be working. I can hear, you know, through my headset. The mic says it has power. And so, you know, their producer, Zach, and Cy Kell and all these other guys with Catholic Answers, they pop up on the screen and they're talking to me, and their producer, Zach, keeps going, can you get a little closer to the mic? Can you get a little closer to the mic? We're having a hard time hearing you. And so I'm like, just my lips are like right next to the microphone. Like, okay, I think we can hear you now. And I'm sweating a little bit and anxious. And they're like, all right, you know, 3 minutes to studio time until go time and all that kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, we'll do our best here. And so, you know, we go live for the first segment. And then it's break time, and their producer, Zach, comes on and he's like, Adam, you're coming in and out and that kind of thing. And so I'm like, gosh, I don't know what to do. There's all these dials and buttons and stuff I've never seen or messed with or touched. And I'm afraid if I touch something, I'm going to break it. And he's like, what kind of microphone are you using? And I tell him, like, well, we use those kinds of mics. It should work fine. And then there's this pause and he goes, Adam, so microphone backwards? Like, I don't think so. He's like, turn it around. So I turn it around and all of a sudden they can hear me great. And I'm going, oh man, it's one of these on again, off again, technologically inept things going on here where I don't know what I'm doing. And he's like, now you sound great. The whole rest of the show goes well. But it goes to show you, I do not have the technological know-how or charisms to be a studio tech or anything like that. But, you know, speaking of charisms with our show today, I am so excited that, you know, for our guests, we always have a main guest for you guys, a woman that needs no introduction at all. I'm sure you've heard of her before. Great friend of the apostolate, Sherry Waddell is going to be here with us to talk to us about charisms, about evangelization, about the work of the church happening right now, about discipleship. And it's such an exciting time to be Catholic. So if somehow you don't know who Sherry Waddell is, if you haven't been through Called and Gifted, if you haven't read Forming Intentional Disciples, we might forgive you. We'll try to forgive you. But Sherry Waddell is the executive director of the Catherine of Siena Institute. And if you don't know a lot about the Catherine of Siena Institute, definitely go check out the website, look around, see everything that they offer there. But she created the first charism discernment process specifically designed for Catholics way back in 1993. And since then, thousands of Catholics have gone through this discernment process for charisms. And oftentimes when I'm out there and I'm doing my training and everything, I'll say, hey, look, you know, just because you don't have a charism or let's say evangelization doesn't mean that God won't use you to evangelize. Just because you don't have a charism for hospitality doesn't mean you get to be a jerk for Jesus, right? But we do have these charisms, these gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. And so Sherry, through the Catherine of Siena Institute, through the work that she's doing, is helping Catholics discern their charism, helping us be more effective and more fruitful in the work that we've been called to do. And so in 1997, she co-founded the Catherine of Siena Institute, which is affiliated international ministry with the Western Dominican province. So we're talking about Dominicans here, we're talking about really smart people, right? And so she came out with this book called Forming Intentional Disciples in 2012, which has been a bestseller all over the country, all over the world, sold more than 100,000 copies. It's been followed up by other books. I'd welcome you to check those out too. Saints Who Transform the World, great book. Fruitful Discipleship, Becoming a Parish of Intentional Disciples. If you're involved in parish leadership, if you haven't looked at these books before, definitely take a look at them. But without further ado, Sherry, welcome to the podcast.
Well, it's great to be here, Adam. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for being here. How's everything? Are you in Colorado Springs right now?
I'm at home 7,000 feet high in the Rockies, and it's going to be a below zero weekend here. The wind chill anyway. So this is, but it's sunny outside and we got snow on the ground right now, but it's
there
very,
you go.
Very Colorado.
Yeah, we've got all the snow on the ground finally here in Michigan, but as is true for Michigan around November, we lose the sun and we don't see it again until like March. So it's always a bit dreary. So it's good to have you on the show today. Before we dive in, I think to talk more about the charisms, you travel all over the world. And a lot of our team leaders, a lot of our evangelists, you're in all these different parishes and dioceses, Sherry, they're feeling a bit, you know, anxious, a bit negative, a lot of anxiety right now with the things happening in the world and in the church. You know, we're coming out of a pandemic, you know, we've got a war going on in Gaza. You know, we're hearing different things coming from the church and these documents, which are causing confusion amongst the faithful. But we want to focus on what is giving us and bringing us hope in the church and the work of the kingdom for Jesus today. So what are you seeing out there that's giving you hope in the church and the world today?
Oh, well, always, always, always it's Jesus. I mean, his presence among us. The fact that he is, you know, he's not on, sometimes people talk like he's on vacation, some kind of permanent vacation on heaven until, you know, the second coming. And meanwhile, it's all up to us, but it's not like that at all. He is here. He is the center of the whole process of redemption in the world. He is pouring out constantly his Holy Spirit, his graces, his mercy upon us, which of course are related to the charisms. We'll get there. And so far, far and away, it always comes back to he is with us and he is calling us to participate in what he is doing here. And so we're not alone. We're not on our own. He hasn't left us. He is right at the center and he's asking us to join him at the center of the kingdom and of what he's doing. So as long as we're open, and it's interesting because the church has been in much worse places than this before. And for those of you, a lot of people have heard me talk about this a lot, but there was a huge revival about 400 years ago after a council, after 30 years of religious civil wars in which millions of people died. This was in France. And out of it came one of the greatest revivals in the entire history of Christianity, one that really impacted France for 150 years. It was multi-generational. It was incredibly fruitful. It changed the course of Western history, and it brought the Catholic faith, went out from France and spread both to North America and also to all over Asia and Indonesia. We could go into Korea and all those places, but it had an enormous force. And to see what God did, what God brought out of a situation that was infinitely darker than anything we have ever seen, where, I mean, people were dying by the millions in religious warfare, in which the Christendom was shattered. And yet out of it rose a whole generation, multiple generations of new disciples and apostles with incredible gifts who are answering God's call. And they were collaborating with each other, and they were stealing from each other, and they were friends with each other, and they mentored each other, and they prayed for each other, and they learned from each other. And there was men and there was women, and there were educated people and poor people, and the royalty and the rich and the poor and the single and the married, and religious and bishops and lay people. It was revival at all levels: the parish, lay people, religious life, priesthood. And out of that incredible richness, there was this fantastic evangelization that went on both in France and then outside of it. Many people called back to the church who had left the church. Many people revived who had just lived in the church all their lives, but it wasn't personal yet. Many people with non-Christian backgrounds who encountered Christ for the first time. So we've got a long and fabulous history in this area that tells us, we're never alone, and this is what God can do in our midst if we're open. If we are open to him, if we are willing to say yes, as together, we can see the same. We could be the generation of saints for the 21st century. Absolutely.
Exactly. And so, as you're sitting here, as you're listening to this, as a baptized, confirmed Catholic that desires to evangelize, you are part of that answer. You are part of that generation of saints that Jesus wants to use to bring about revival in the world today, especially we're in this time of Eucharistic revival. And so all of us, we need to be closer to Jesus. And then through that work of the Holy Spirit, go out there and evangelize wherever God has planted us. So speaking of that, I want to talk a little bit about charisms and the discernment of charisms. And so how are charisms? I think if we're Catholic, if we've had some catechetical training, right, we've heard of charisms. We know they have something to do with the Holy Spirit and how we've received them through the sacraments. But how are charisms different than simply a strength or a talent?
Yeah.
How do we understand that word charism?
Charism is a very specific kind of spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit. It's different than sanctifying grace that we receive, like through the sacraments, because that sanctifying grace is for us and for our relationship with God, our transformation. The charisms are ways we are supernaturally empowered by God to be instruments of His redemptive power and love and mercy and truth for others. They're things we're given to give away. So there are ways that we're used in the lives of other people. And then they are not the same as a natural talent, of course. Natural talents, it's really interesting. And we learned this the hard way because we've had at least 150,000 people go through the Called and Gifted now, and we're working all over the world. And the heart of it is we sit down with people and we listen to their real stories of their encounter with God and they're being used by God. And that is how we've learned almost everything we know, besides the church's tradition in this area, is just listening to all thousands and thousands of Catholics tell us their stories. And what they told us, it was fascinating. There's natural talents which we have that may be genetically linked, or I inherited them from my parents or something, like maybe sports athletic ability runs in your family, or maybe musical ability or something like that. But a charism isn't like that. That is given to you sovereignly by God for you. And God gives it to you, gives you a charisms for the sake of your unique mission in life. He knows the people he is preparing you to go to. See, that's what's so fascinating. He is preparing you in advance for situations and people that you haven't even met yet, who you may not even know exist yet, but and who don't even have a need yet. And yet you're being prepared to be the one who he will send to that person or that group in that situation, and with the power of Christ and the love of Christ. So it has huge ramifications for evangelization, all the charisms, all these gifts that the church talks about. And it's they've talked about it for the centuries. I mean, it was not only in scripture, of course, but the early fathers talked about this, and St. Thomas Aquinas talked about this. It was debated at the Second Vatican Council. You know, it's in the catechism, et cetera, et cetera. But the whole point is that we are given these gifts. Each of us are, when we're anointed with the Holy Spirit at baptism, we were anointed to be apostles, to become apostles in our own right, i.e. sent ones. I don't mean bishops, okay? I mean someone who's been sent by Christ on his behalf for the sake of his mission in the world. And we are given these gifts for the sake of that sending, and he gives them to us for the sake of the people to whom he is sending us. And so all of us have a call to discern, and these charisms are supernatural ways we're supernaturally empowered to carry out that call for other people. All of them are evangelizing in their own way, which is really, really interesting. You'd think, now, yes, we've met a lot of people and I've heard their stories who have charisms, literal charisms of evangelism. So it's fascinating because in their presence, they don't have to manipulate people or sort of corner them in a street corner or anything. In their presence, people just want to talk to you about God, because part of the thing with a charism, no matter which one it is, people somehow sense it in us. They don't even know why, but they just feel like they can ask you for this. And so if you have a charism of evangelism, even people who would normally never talk about God will just walk up to you and just, who knows, the conversation just starts. You don't have to do any, you don't have to scheme and, you know, all to try and get the conversation there. It will go there. And what you share with them has this incredible supernatural power behind it. And so there are people with charisms of evangelism, but there's also people who are very effective in evangelism because they have charisms of mercy, for instance. Mercy is the hands-on deeds of compassion that address the suffering of people and give them an experience of God's love. Well, it's incredibly powerful both for the person who needs that, who's suffering, but also for people who witness what God does in that setting. It opens so many people up to the love of God. And there's many, many charisms like that. All of them serve the redemptive purposes of Christ, which means they serve evangelization. They're all ways in which people, even people who don't know anything about the faith, who have no contact with the church of any kind, can still encounter the real graces of the Holy Spirit and respond to them. And as they sort of pass through us with our cooperation. They don't belong to us. We're not in charge of these gifts. They aren't ours, but they do pass through us with our cooperation and accomplish purposes that God intends for his kingdom. And so, and all of them are also healing. And that's the other fascinating thing. So in many ways, all the charisms, even teaching or administration or leadership, can be a source of healing in their different ways. And healing opens the door for people to want to experience God's love. As Tim Keller famously would say, he said, these days, people need to want it to be true before they can begin to grapple with, is it true? Mm-hmm. And the charisms open the doors. So people look at that and say, whoa, there's something else going on here that's good. And if you tell me this is God, if you tell me this is the work of Jesus Christ, I begin to want it to be true. Maybe I don't yet believe it is true, but a part of me says, but wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if it was? And that's the way a lot of people begin to open their doors to the gospel of their hearts and their minds. And so discernment of charisms is really important for all of us. The church makes it really clear. We're all called to discern them. And it is a discernment process. It's not just, I mean, we're free to ask God for any gift we think we may need, or the person in front of us may need, or my family may need, or my situation may need. But sometimes he'll say, That's okay. I gave it to other people who are I'm bringing, or they're here right now, and I've got this very special thing for you. And so here's your, here's the gift I'm giving you. And usually, I should add, most of us do receive more than one charism. So there's that part of it. But discernment is necessary for all of us. And that's what we do in the Called and Gifted, is we help you basically begin to discern the patterns in your life that may indicate the presence of a charism, and take you through an actual discernment process in community, in the midst of the Catholic community. And so we've had, and that's a huge life-changing experience for so many people. Sometimes things they had noticed that they thought were weird turn out to be gifts, so, and they're going like, whoa, I didn't know what that was. And other times they wanted a particular gift really, really, really badly, and it wasn't happening, and they got so frustrated and so upset. And so discernment for them means I can let go of my death grip on X, whatever that is, because there's this wonderful thing over here that God is calling me to, and there's clear evidence of it. And maybe I was so fixated on the thing I wanted, I actually pushed aside all the evidence that God was using me in other areas. We've had many people do that because they just wanted this, And so there's a whole lot, there's all kinds of healing, a different sense of my purpose, my relationship with God, my relationship with other people, my relationship to the church changes. We've heard that so many times. It makes the whole reality of God's love real, and his presence real, and Jesus's redemptive work real for people, in this way. And it makes us, it is energizing, it is satisfying, it is like prayer at the time you use them. It is the great remedy for burnout, for lack of hope, for discouragement, at every level of the church's life. And a lot of us have reasons to be burnt out and discouraged right now. But when you experience this in your life and you see the power of God at work, not it's not your power, but his power working through you and touching and changing the lives of others, you go, whoa, it's all true, it's real. And that confidence makes you a much more effective evangelist or witness, no matter where you are. And the just to be able to talk out of that experience changes things in amazing way.
Yeah, and that's so true. I have a friend in my life. He's actually my doctor, Dr. Tom, medical doctor. And first time I went to go see him, he's a wonderful Catholic man. He walks into the room, the patient room, and I'm sitting there and just waiting for him to come in. He walks in, he's got a big smile on his face, and he has a huge button on his lab coat that says, "My heart belongs to Jesus." And just begins to minister to me through, his charism of mercy and healing. And I'm sitting there with anxious about the whole world. And by the time we're done, I've been evangelized in a deeper way. I'm feeling less anxious. I'm feeling through the power of his prayer at the end of our time together. He's like, "Adam, I just love to pray for you right now." It's like, "Oh yes, Dr. Tom, please do." My own life has been transformed. And so I think there's a real truth to that. Even if our charism is something, or charisms are something we didn't expect, or we wanted this charism, when we operate fully in those charisms that God has given us, it brings us this supernatural joy. And I think I've spoken to people sometimes like, "Man, if I don't get, or I don't have this charism, I'll be so frustrated or upset, and I really want that one." And it's like, look, God has set us for this time and this place and a mission in this world with these charisms for purpose that will bring us joy. But it kind of begs the question then, Sherry, what are some of the signs that a person has a particular charism?
Classic. There's three basic signs we help people discern. I will. I'm going to say this right now. Taking an inventory is not discernment. We use it as part of the process, but it's only a beginning place. So there's lots of them online. Please, 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 please do not believe anybody. Anybody tells you if you take this, boom, go, you've done your discernment in 30 minutes. That's not how it works. Okay. But the three basic signs that typically happen over time. That's what we're looking for, patterns over time. At the moment you're using a charism, it is energizing, it is satisfying. There's a sense of joy that comes with it. It often feels, you have a sense of the presence of God or prayer. It's different for different people, but that is typical to what happens when you do X. In other words, if you have a charism of healing, people actually get well. If they are worse off after you are done, it's a clue. If you have a charism of leadership and cast a vision, people get excited about it and you suddenly find yourself that you're leading a group somewhere. Okay, that's typical. If you have a charism of encouragement, classic example, strangely enough, total strangers will just be drawn to you and you're the woman who stands in line at the grocery counter, you know, paying for your groceries, and the person behind you just starts talking about their personal lives and issues out of the blue, you know. And one woman said to me, she says, "What, do I have 'talk to me' written on my forehead?" And I said, "Yes, basically." Because here's the deal. The Holy Spirit guides people to you. These people don't have to know God. They don't have to believe in God, but they'll just sense somehow they feel safe around you. And for some reason, they're drawn to you and they'll ask you for the gift you have, even if you don't yet know what it is. So it's part of the signs is, what do other people ask of you? Because there's your experience and there's what you see happen. But then one of the big signs is, what do other people tell you happens? What actually happens objectively in the lives of other people around you? So two of the three basic signs are beyond my personal experience. They are really evidence that other people will provide for us as to how God is actually using us. And so the three signs need to happen over time together. And that's what we help people do. We help them. We kind of have an initial workshop, and that's available online now in English and Spanish. If you want it, you can do this independently if you want, or you can do it live. We have events all over the world and live going on at the moment. So that's where we kind of explore all this and what the charisms are and 23 of the most common gifts, and how they manifest in your life and what they would look like. And we tell all kinds of saints stories with charisms and regular people stories. And we give you a chance to take an inventory just as a first look at the patterns in your life to help you identify places that may indicate the presence of a charism. And then we put you together one-on-one with somebody we've trained to listen to your stories and help you recognize the patterns in your life that really may indicate a charism. And then we ask you to pick one gift to actually experiment with. That is, you have to do it and see what God does and see what other people tell you that he does, okay? And so the third part is an actual discernment process where as a member usually of small Christian communities or small groups, you go through a discernment together, but you pick a gift and you experiment with it a minimum of 2 hours a week. You got to do it and see what happens. And that is where the light really starts to dawn for most people. And they begin to see both things they thought maybe were charisms might not be, but then they have these other ahas that come up, like you were saying. They're going like, wait a second. Oh, I never even thought about this. I never took this seriously. I thought of it as weird. I didn't know what it was. One of the great benefits about this is you can stop beating yourself up because you don't have the charisms you think you should have, like somebody you admire, some saint or some friend, and you're always comparing yourself and saying, you know, they're so great and I'm not. You can let go of that, but you can also stop judging other people because they don't have the same gifts you do, and they don't have the same priorities necessarily. They're serving the kingdom, they're serving Christ, but they're being called to a different place. And that a lot of the conflict in the church is charism driven, unconsciously charism driven, because we just think, well, you know, that's not where it should be. So there's all kinds of healing, transformation, encouragement, and especially, how should I say, it helps people move into being to thinking of themselves as apostles. That's what we hear over and over again. it changed how I look at myself. I understand my relationship with God and my sense of myself that I'm being sent by God. I've been empowered by God. There are people out there who are waiting for what I have been given to give. And it really matters that I say yes in the kingdom for that person, for that family, for that neighborhood, for that parish, for that circle of friends, whatever. It really matters because there is someone out there waiting for you. And so that all these things are involved. That's why for me, it's like the most fun you can have legally, actually, to get to do this and to listen to the stories and to help people discern.
All right. Yeah. So I want to ask a couple questions about Forward Intentional Disciples before we do that, though. So all of our evangelists listening right now, as St. Paul Street evangelization team leaders, as evangelists, as supporters, if you have not yet gone through a called and gifted discernment process, I want to invite you as part of our national team over here in our offices. I want to invite you to get involved and actually go through called and gifted. And as Sherry was saying, even if you don't have a group that's starting up in person live at your parish, right now or coming up in the future, that doesn't mean you can't do it. You still have the opportunity to go through called and gifted. So, Sherry, before we talk a little bit about forming intentional disciples, what is a website and what can our listeners do to actually go through the called and gifted process?
Two processes. Our website is Siena.org, Catherine of Siena Institute. So it's Siena.org. Okay. So go to Catherine of Siena.org and look under Called and Gifted. There is the option you could go through it today. You could take it online because it's all on video now. Or there's also our calendars there, which also lists all the live events that are happening. Not just in, there's a number around the US, but there's also in other parts of the world. And so you could, and there's a contact information there if you'd like to go through that and want to go through that. And I mean, it's designed to be live, and that in many ways, that is the ideal process. But we also know there are a lot of people who don't have access to that, either right now or maybe for where they are. So both are available, and they're both available in English and Spanish, and that would be the place to go.
All right, yeah, thank you. And I agree, we offer live training and workshops, and we always tell people that's a preference. If at all possible, please come to one of our live workshops. But if it's not possible, you can still take it online. And I think it's important that all of us as Catholic evangelists that we're discerning our charisms because it will help you, as Sherry said, be more fruitful, be more effective in that work of evangelization, in your desire to bring people to Jesus, to have discerned and better understand and better operate in your charisms as well. Of course, before we let Sherry go, she wrote one of the most best-selling, one of the best books that we have out there in the Catholic world today, Forming Intentional Disciples. And a couple of the questions that have come up amongst our evangelists as I go and travel and do workshops and whatnot, they're aware of Forming Intentional Disciples. They may have heard you speak, they may have read the book or heard about it from other diocesan directors or parish directors of evangelization. And the question comes up, okay, Adam, I go to mass, I've been Catholic my whole life, I feel like I believe in Jesus. I'm going to confession. Am I an intentional disciple? Can I be doing all these things and possibly not be an intentional disciple? And so, Catholics sometimes have questions, does just being a faithful Catholic mean that that means I'm a disciple, or is there something more to it? So I was wondering if you could maybe take a couple of minutes to speak to that.
You're asking, of course, one of the great questions, which has always been true in the Catholic world, not just in our generation. Yeah, you can do all the stuff. I hate to say this, but we've met lots and lots of people who are super engaged in their parishes, and they do go to mass every weekend, and they're very involved. And even sometimes they go to retreats and they go to confession, all this. But there's this other part in the church's tradition that we didn't talk about much until fairly recently. And that has to do with our personal experience of relationship with God. What we discovered, especially in the last 5 years, we've met a lot of people who, when I talk to them about God, they want to talk about things they do for the church. And you can't get them. You know, you keep trying to raise God and Jesus, and they just go right back to their involvements. Because a lot of ordinary Catholics got the impression that in my involvement with the parish was the same as relationship with God. And a lot, when we listen to them and we ask, tell me about your relationship with God, which we now do as part of the called and gifted process. That's just normal. We just raise that issue and said, tell me about it. And often they just talk about all the stuff they do, but they can't. But when they talk about God, they tell you, he's far away. I don't trust him. He doesn't really care about me. I'm not even clear who Jesus was or is. I don't know how what he did affected me. And so one of the first things we have to do is say, wherever you are in your journey, are you willing to just tell God you're open to the next step, to more right now? And it doesn't matter. It's not a thing to be ashamed of. So many of us have been here. We just call it the prayer of openness. Wherever you are in your journey, in your life experience, this is the moment to tell the Lord, I'm open. Are you really there? Do you really care about me? Do you really love me? I'm open. I'm open to more. I'm open to whatever I've been missing. And that would be the first step. If you do nothing else today, that would be the first step. I have never known God not to respond in powerful and very personal and individual ways to someone who prays that prayer, just very authentically. And then, you know, I would, a couple of things. We encounter Jesus in so many ways. We encounter him through scripture. We can encounter him through the Eucharist, of course. I would probably those two things, praying your way through probably the Gospels. And as you read about Jesus and saying, Lord, show me that you're here. Show me you're alive. Show me what you were doing. And then adoration. And then we're back into the Eucharistic revival again. But honestly, he is the living Lord in the fullness of his humanity and divinity, who's there pouring out all these mercies and graces on us. And even if we think we've never really believed God cared about us, that we were doing it because we were supposed to, we were born into the church, we're just Catholic, and that's what you do. This is the moment to say, I want more, Lord. And if you're there and if you care, and if you can hear me, I'm here. Hi. I'm open to more. Just what's the next thing? What should I do? I have never seen God not respond to that prayer in tremendously personal ways.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Sherry. And we're running out of time now. So I mean, I could talk to you all day. We could do a 2 or 3 hour podcast, but I know we have to keep these short. Any last thoughts or words of encouragement or anything that's on your mind you want to share with all of our evangelists before we have to say goodbye?
Yes. Here's what I want to share. I want to share, remember the saying of Ignatius of Loyola. He said, pray is if everything depends upon God, and work is if everything depends upon you. Okay. I want to say we don't do the first part well at all. We tend to talk endlessly about the stuff we do. My challenge to you is, what if we started to pray as if everything really depended upon God? Wow, would that change my life personally, my outreach, my ministry, my evangelism, whatever you're involved in, whatever God is calling you to? How would it change us as a community? How would it change my parish? How would it change my family? How would it change my circle of friends? Seriously, we don't. Honestly, and we've worked all over the world in about 250 different dioceses and over 1,000 parishes now. And we don't do that either as individuals, but especially not as a community. And I think that is really key to serious breakthrough of a revelation of who Jesus is to the people who have no idea he even exists and he's living and he's their savior. A revelation of the kingdom and God's purposes and the larger level. We have to put as much energy into praying as if it really depended upon God as we do into doing. That's when breakthrough occurs.
Amen. Thank you so much. So my guest today has been Sherry Waddell, Executive Director and co-founder of the St. Catherine of Siena Institute, St. Paul Street Evangelization. Evangelists and leaders and supporters and listeners, please go take a look at the website, siena.org. Please check out Called and Gifted. Check out Forming Intentional Disciples, Sherry's other books, the newish Ananias training as well. There's so much there that will be beneficial to all of you as street evangelists, as supporters, as you seek to continue to live out your life for Jesus, for the kingdom, drawing souls to the Lord. So again, thank you so much for being with us today, Sherry.
Thank
God bless
you, Adam,
you
for
and your ministry.
Giving me a chance to spend this time, and especially thank you to all of you who are involved in this wonderful ministry and seeking to be witnesses and to be people around whom people will say, I wish it were true. Somehow I see it in them and I want it to be true.
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Adam.
Next up, we have with us Joe Lipa, who is a team leader of our University of Michigan Ann Arbor team. And so it's great to have these college teams out there on campus, sharing the faith, sharing Jesus with college students, bringing them back to the church. Especially, you know, you get away, get off to college sometimes and you get busy and things of faith kind of slip between the cracks. And so we talk to so many people out there who are Catholic and they grow up Catholic, but then they tend to fall away just gradually. And oftentimes it can take an invitation, a conversation, respecting them, loving them, paying attention to them to bring them back into the faith. So Joe, welcome. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Adam. Great to be here.
Really appreciate it. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you started as a team leader with St. Paul Street Evangelization?
Sure. So my first time evangelizing was in 2012. It was actually at the Ann Arbor Art Fair. And I was invited I just heard there was going to be some street evangelization happening. And that really piqued my curiosity. But I was kind of torn whether or not to go. You know, it's kind of a scary thought. And I'd actually decided not to go. But then all of a sudden, at the last second, it must have been the Holy Spirit, I changed my mind. I said, no, I'm going to go. I'm just check it out. I wasn't planning to really get too involved, you know, but maybe to sit back and watch it happen. And I imagine that's what actually happens for a lot of people on their first time. But like so many others, I actually ended up giving it a try. And I did hand out rosaries, and I was hooked very fast. Just having conversations with random people walking down the street. The Ann Arbor Art Fair has so many people. I think it brings 500,000 people. So it wasn't hard. And for me, it was a great starting point. I think St. Paul Street Evangelization had just started that same year, a few months ago. So I consider it very providential timing.
That's great. And so how long ago was that when you first got involved?
That was 2012, so about
right at the beginning.
Years ago, yes.
Wow, yeah. So you might have even beat me as a team leader. I think it was team number 5 or 6 or something like that. You might have been before that too. So that's awesome. So you've been doing this for quite a few years. What is it about street evangelization that brings you joy? Like, what's it like out there when you're evangelizing on the street?
Yeah, I think it's just a zeal for souls. You know, and that's one of the things I love about St. Paul Street Evangelization is we don't just talk about evangelization, but we actually get out there and do it. And that's the whole purpose, is help save souls, help souls get to heaven. And of course, we can't do that on our own. That's God's work, but we can cooperate with it in just very simple ways, such as invitations. Would you like a free rosary? Would you like a free miraculous medal? Often that's all it takes to get a conversation started. And then of course, each conversation is different. And our goal in every interaction is just to meet the person where they're at and then help them take that next step closer to Christ and the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, all those easy methods are great to be able to use doing street ministry because yeah, it opens up people to conversations. In all the years you've been doing this, what are some of the fruits that you've seen of doing street evangelization?
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the things about evangelization is so often you don't see the fruits. You most people, you hand a rosary, maybe have a 5-minute conversation, and then you'll never see them again. Except we know, of course, God willing, in heaven, we'll see all the fruits of our efforts. So I think that's one thing that for me has helped me to persevere and continue is that even if you don't see the fruits, they're there, and God willing, in heaven, one day you'll know exactly how that rosary that you handed out may have helped someone get to heaven. But there are a couple of kind of stories that stand out that maybe I can share about some fruits that I actually have seen as a result of those interactions.
Yeah, we would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, so I mentioned the art fair. It's on Ann Arbor's. Ann Arbor is the home of the University of Michigan, so the team that I lead does a lot of work there. And one of the times we really try to target having evangelists out there is at the beginning of the semester, when students are just arriving for the first time on campus and may not even know where to attend mass, what are the mass times? So a couple of years ago, friend and I just kind of on a whim decided to go out and hand out. We especially wanted to advertise our Latin mass right down the street at St. Thomas. And we got to campus and there weren't that many people around. All of a sudden, the entire freshman class is in an orientation session and they come from one building to the next. They're kind of in passing time between two courses. And so we have 5,000 students walking by us, basically. So the exact demographic that we wanted to reach. And so we were handing out little flyers as fast as we could. And it turned out that one guy actually stopped and was interested in joining the church. He had been baptized, but he had kind of fallen away very early on and had never made his first confession or Holy Communion or even confirmation. And he ended up, we gave him the information for RCIA. He ended up going to the sessions and was received into the church 2 Easters ago. So that was really special and something we could have never planned. That was all the Holy Spirit.
100%. And I like what you said too, Joe, about how we're planting seeds. We don't always see the fruit. We get to hear a lot of stories up here at the national office. And one of the cool stories from the last year was somebody that contacted us and said, "Hey, do you remember me? You had a conversation with me 10 years ago." And we're like, "No, not really, but God bless you. What's going on?" He's like, "Well, yeah, we had that conversation about Jesus in the church about 10 years ago. Well, I've decided to actually become Catholic, and so I've entered the Catholic Church, and we thought that was so cool. Like, here's a random person we had a conversation with a decade ago that remembered us, that planting that seed eventually came to fruition, and he thought enough about it to even contact us and let us know, hey, I ended up converting and coming into the Catholic Church, which was pretty cool." So yeah, I want to encourage everybody out there as you're evangelizing, take Joe's message to heart that even if you don't see the fruits, you're still planting seeds. And like Joe said, you may not know in this side of heaven the type of impact that you're having. So that's great. And any other good stories?
One other that I'll share was also at the art fair for a Light the Fire event. So we were very blessed. I know, Adam, you were very influential in making that all happen in Ann Arbor this past summer during the art fair. So we had, what was it, 70 evangelists. Normally we have like 10. So it was great to be able to have so many people at this huge, huge event. So, there's the Light the Fire event where you're actually inviting people into the church to light a candle, and there's adoration, there's confessions, there's music. And so this one doesn't involve myself, but my sister Jessica and another veteran evangelist, Carol LaPalme, were just trying to invite people into the church. They weren't having a whole lot of success. They decided to kind of venture a little bit farther out into the fair. And there was a lady who was kind of on her phone, and they invited her, and you know, she's kind of downcast, but she immediately accepted. Turned out, she had her husband had left her several months ago, and she was very emotional because at that moment is when the evangelist came up, my sister and Carol, and asked her, "Would you like to light a candle in the Catholic Church?" And she was very, very touched. She saw that as a sign of God. I think she called them her angels, just really a sign that in a very difficult time for her, that God was there for her and did care about her and reached out to her through our evangelists. So that was really beautiful to hear.
Yeah, that's incredible. And so, folks, please do continue to pray for our University of Michigan team. Of course, they had a great year this year, national champions. It's awesome to see. But there's a lot of college students there that need Jesus, as well as just those in the Ann Arbor area throughout town. You can always see Joe and his team at the Ann Arbor Art Fair every year. And if you're interested in joining his team, if you're in the Ann Arbor area, or maybe Ypsilanti or Novi or Brighton or Chelsea or any of those areas, and you want to evangelize more, you can get a hold of Joe at our website at streetevangelization.com. Just go to our national map and zoom in on Ann Arbor, and then you can find his team and you can contact him and learn more about how to go and evangelize when they're out evangelizing. So thanks for being with us, Joe. Is there any way that we could pray for you and your team going forward?
Yeah, I think just pray for continued, you know, perseverance. The harvest is abundant, the laborers are few, and we definitely need all the evangelists, all the prayers, all the graces that we can get in Ann Arbor. St. Paul says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And I really feel that's true about a place like Ann Arbor and the University of Michigan, that God is all the more working.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks again, Joe, for being here. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Adam. God bless.
God bless you. All right, next up, we have another one of our staff members we get to know a little bit better. So you guys just have a more, you know, feeling that we're all family, that you know, that we know one another, our team leaders and our staff and all of you. We get to know everybody. So next up, we have Mark Nemechek. He's our social media and design guru here at St. Paul Street Evangelization. So, you know, one of the very first ways I got involved in St. Paul Street Evangelization was seeing an ad on Facebook, and that helped me get involved and become a better evangelist. So this work is so important that Mark is doing. But thanks for joining us, Mark. And could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your own faith in Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it gets to give already a brief 2-minute testimony, I guess you could say. Like, I was raised kind of cultural Catholic, cafeteria Catholic, you could say. Went to Catholic school, but didn't go to mass every Sunday. It wasn't until like my late 20s. I started getting involved with Catholic young adult ministry. And I just, through having conversations, through casual experiences with young people who take the faith seriously, it really inspired me to start taking my faith seriously. And since then, I just continue to grow from that.
All right, great. And fun question of the day, favorite saint of the church?
I'd really have to say St. Maximian Kolbe. He's kind of like, seems like he did everything, basically, you know? His whole two crowns thing. You know, I want both the white crown and the red crown. He was a missionary and a martyr and an evangelist to this thing and that thing. It seems like he just did it all. He didn't just like pigeonhole himself into one thing or really focus on just one thing. He did everything he possibly could do.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. And of course, we just had Father Ignatius on not too long ago, who I think would agree with you there. All right. So tell us what you do in the background. Like, what does day to day look like as our social media and design person?
So, yeah, I do the vast majority, probably 95% of all the social media. So basically all the Facebook posts, you know, whether Lexa and Bob do a fair amount of the TikTok videos. So I don't really do much of the TikTok right now. but basically all of the other social media I do. I also do graphics for all of our events. So anytime there's a BET, an event coming up, I'll create graphics for that. I also design and update all of our, like all of our sacramentals, so all of our holy cards, all of our pamphlets, all of our stuff like that. I design and update all of those too.
All right, that's great. Yeah, and it's such important work so that we're able to distribute all of those materials out to you so that you can then go out and distribute those out of the street and invite people into a deeper relationship with Jesus. What has been maybe some of your highlights of the past year working with St. Paul Street Evangelization?
Yeah, definitely the biggest highlight was the Emerging Conference. So for those who are not maybe not familiar, that was in Ann Arbor, Michigan this past summer. And if you're not familiar of those, or that Ann Arbor is a pretty liberal college town, very kind of very free thinker, not religious town. And we evangelized at the big art fair. There was a huge art fair, draws thousands of people, most of whom are not religious in any way. And a local team there has been there like every year, among other nonprofits. So like there's we had a booth, or actually two booths, in a nonprofit section. So there are Muslims there, there are different political groups there, there are non-Catholic Christians there. So it's very great to have Catholics there as well. In addition to having just a booth, we also had people just walking around the streets among the art fair and praying people and doing direct evangelization there. So there was a lot of resistance, but at the same time there was a lot of fruit, and I was reminded just how much needed the presence is among those who are far away from the church.
That's great. Yeah, and hopefully we're looking at doing immersion every other year. So keep an eye out in our newsletter and our website. It's a great conference to be a part of. And in the meantime, you can be part of our come and see and virtual street evangelization workshops and basic evangelization training and online formation, all the other stuff that we have too. But I agree, immersion is just one of the real highlights of our year, every year that we offer it. Mark, why do you believe in the mission of St. Paul Street Evangelization?
I mean, it's just, I see there's so many people that I know personally, and those strangers that I see among me who are just so far away from God, who are so far away from church, who there's every time I go out, anytime I talk to someone who's not Catholic, who's not devout Catholic, it's just, I could see it in their body language that like, that they're suffering, that they're searching, they're looking for something, they're looking for God one way or another. And then very often they're looking in the wrong places, you know, that we have the solution to what they're looking for. We have the pearl of great price, and we just need to go out there and share with people, you know.
Amen. All right, last question. I don't think we've asked this one in a little while. Favorite superhero?
Ooh, I'm not much of a comic book superhero guy. I don't know.
All the Marvel and DC movies, right? Yeah, you've seen a few of those.
And I've seen them. I don't know. Maybe I kind of like Wolverine as a kid, you know, kind of like maybe because I'm from Michigan and there was like a parallel of like I kind of subconsciously associate with Michigan Wolverines. But I don't know. I guess I've had to pick one. I guess I would say Wolverine. I don't know.
Very, very respectable decision there. I like that one, Wolverine. I always watch the old cartoons growing up, and Wolverine was always a favorite of mine too. So, Mark, thanks for coming on and being part of the podcast today, letting folks out there, supporters and whatnot, get to know you a little bit better. Would you like to close our podcast out with a prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. So, in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Lord, we thank you for another day to love you, to serve you, to build up a kingdom. We thank you for all of our supporters, all of our donors, benefactors, and all of our partners. We pray for the great grace and great diligence to accomplish all of our tasks. We pray for all of our evangelists, all of our donors and benefactors. Pray for all those who have evangelized, that we have evangelized, that we will evangelize. I pray for the conversion of sinners and for their ultimate salvation. I pray to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening today. God bless you. Keep up the good work and keep sharing Jesus.